All right, 32 games, 32 matchups. Let's get into it. In game one, we have Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter versus Winry Rockbell from Full Metal Alchemist. And in not quite the landslide you may have expected, Luna wins. Luna makes it into our next round.
Good, good.
So the cool feedback we get of Luna is that she does speak her mind and is her own individual person. So I totally had to eat crow on this one because I was one of the people who was like, Luna, really? Game two.
You eat Raven. Ravenclaw.
In game two, we've got Batgirl, a.k.a. Oracle, a.k.a. Barbara Gordon, a.k.a. Commissioner Gordon from Batman Beyond versus RZA Hawkeye from Full Metal Alchemist. This is kind of cool. The public was split on this. When we opened up the polls for the public, they were split on these two characters. I mean, neck in neck.
Oh, my goodness.
It really is cool. But our loyal fans and listeners handed it over to the one winner for game two. We've got Batgirl moving on to the next round.
Yes.
I'm happy about this. And it's not just because I hate anime and everything it stands for. But it's mostly because
of that. I think we're a little sad over here. We obviously love our characters from Full Metal Alchemist. And Risa's a great character. And in very many ways, very similar to a character like Batgirl, being kind of the second in command. And that's really, you know, that their similarities in that area are strong.
Yeah. I do think that Batgirl's strength goes in the way she is reinvented constantly and always in a good way. That's not true of many comic book characters. All right. Game three, Asami from Legend of Korra versus Zoe Washburn from Firefly. Now, Firefly is a perennial favorite of the internet for whatever damn reason, but not our internet. Asami from Legend of Korra makes it onto the next round. It wasn't, I don't want to say landslide, but it was pretty one-sided.
Wow.
I love Zoe, and I think she's amazing, and I wish we had more women of color on our list. So I'm a little sad she's not on there, but Asami's really great.
Well, you're about to get sadder because game four comes around. I don't know why neither of these are women of color. So game four, Mabel from Gravity Falls versus Eowyn from The Lord of the Rings. So this is interesting because this is kind of a reversal of what we just talked about. Our fans were pretty split between Mabel and Eowyn for whatever damn reason. They really were. There was a lot of passionate arguments over both, which I found exciting. Although Mabel, for the most part, got the, well, Mabel's, you know, cool. And Eowyn just kept getting the only female character that does anything in the movies. Only one who matters at all. And the public sides with Eowyn. So Eowyn makes it, and it will go on to our next round.
Yay, old nerds win.
That's right.
Mabel's a lot of fun as a character, but I mean, Eowyn is a prominent part to play in the movies.
Right, absolutely. Game five, and this is going to be another interesting one. Brienne of Tarth from Game of Thrones versus Chloe from Life is Strange. We're getting to the fields where people are cursing us out for whatever reason. It gets worse. I'll tell you when it starts getting really vicious. And I don't want to encourage that kind of behavior. But apparently, you know, there are fandoms that just hate each other. And I would not have expected Life is Strange and Game of Thrones to be one of those two fandoms, or two of those two fandoms. But unfortunately, only one can move on to the next round, and that would be Brienne of Tarth.
Brienne.
No, I think it's Brienne. See, I listen to the audiobooks, and the audiobooks say Brienne in cute little pirate voices. So I'm going with Brienne.
Okay.
Until they change the narrator, and then I'm going on strike.
So it was Hermione for you too.
Hermione, yes. In our next game, game six, Katara from Avatar The Last and Airbender versus Elizabeth Swann from Pirates of the Caribbean. I really thought this would be a more one-sided battle, to be honest. And it did split the vote amongst our fans. So we did have a split decision. But when it came to the public, when we asked everyone to vote by an overwhelming majority, Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender moves on to the next round.
It's really interesting because I love Katara, but of all the characters of Avatar, I feel like the kind of like motherly sort of, you know, female character that's the mother of the group sort of thing. It's kind of like one of those tropes that gets played a lot. So a character like Elizabeth Swann, who really drove that movie and has all the agency in that movie, surprisingly. You know, it's kind of sad to see her knocked out because she's actually a really interesting character. Not that Katara is a bad character, but...
I think Avatar has a lot of good press going behind it still, but Pirates, for whatever reason, I guess has the opposite. Like, there's a bad taste in her mouth about Pirates of the Caribbean movies, as if they stayed a little longer.
Five more after that.
Yeah. Although they didn't have Elizabeth Swann, so it's unfair that she's taking the flack on this one. All right, speaking of unfair and people hating us, Game 7, I have never, ever received as many death threats in my life as reading the comments in Game 7. Donna Noble from Doctor Who versus Velma from Scooby-Doo.
This was hard.
People were angry at us.
Velmites are not a force to be trifled with.
Well, it seems like the anger comes from like the Venn diagram of the two fandoms. They overlap like perfectly because people were just outraged. In some cases, I think people voted several times, but like differently for this character each time. It was insane. It was a split decision, not a split decision. It was a full tie for the public vote between Donna and Velma. But we brought it out to our fans, and the tiebreaker goes to Donna Noble from Doctor Who.
Ooh.
She's just so good.
She really is. Dr. Donna made it to the... I can't remember how it broke out in the previous Women in Fiction March Madnesses. I do believe Donna made it to a second round, but only barely. And it's always kind of surprising. The people who are fans of Donna are very vocal fans.
I think Donna's also a companion that's aged well over time. Like, we've had a lot of companions since Donna, and I feel like people are like, man, remember Donna? Remember how great Donna was? So,
yeah,
I think that helps.
All right. So we're on Game 8. Connie from Steven Universe versus Rose Tyler from Doctor Who. Now, for those of you who are paying attention to our previous podcast, and I hope you do subscribe, shameless plug, Connie is one of our highest-seeded characters in the competition. Rose barely ever makes it. Every year we do something like this. For whatever reason, maybe it's Tall Poppy, to make a flower joke, but like Rose just, for whatever reason, never makes it to the second round. Which is why the public spoke, and Rose makes it to round two.
Wow.
There were actual comments.
Donna destroys her.
So here's the thing. There were actual comments in favor of Connie that were just opposed to Rose. So that seems a little harsh to me, but there is a lot of people who just love the character of Connie, love Steven Universe. But what we're seeing more and more in this competition is that for whatever reason, when push comes to shove, the Steven Universe fans are not coming out in full force. And I don't know why, except, and Katie pointed it out just a minute ago, next round, it's going to be Donna Noble versus Rose Tyler.
Good.
So this may have been completely intentional from our audience. They may be purposely gearing these things up to fights they want to see. So Game 9, Leia from Star Wars versus Captain Marvel from Marvel Comics. Captain Marvel, a fan favorite, but not enough to beat Princess Leia, who wins in almost a landslide.
Let's be honest here. If my money's on somebody, it's on Leia. I'm putting it down now. Like a good bet, Leia is going to demolish this competition.
Can we take bets? Yeah. Is this legal?
Yo, it's not legal, but you could still do it.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
never mind.
Hey, here's the thing. And I'll give you a little hint at what's going to come in the future. Star Wars fans are coming out in force. They're voting for things. Great. But they are not giving their support to the characters. They're not like writing defenses. They're not sending in support comments. And this isn't just a popularity contest. It's just not about who votes the most. So I would not be surprised if, just like the Steven Universe characters we've seen so far, support starts to dwindle.
I don't know, though. Leia will get through the early rounds easy because she's a great passive win, right? So say you're part of the Avatar fan club. You're coming out in strength for the Avatar characters. But of course you're going to vote Princess Leia. You love Princess Leia. You love Star Wars. That's how that goes. She's a great character. That takes her through the early rounds, you know, and when she's going up against heavy hitters that you want knocked out, you'll probably support Leia too on that because she's the character you believe in. Then all of a sudden it's the final round, and then all these other characters that got knocked out, all that support gets thrown behind Leia. I'm just saying, I see it.
All right.
I see it happening.
You've seen the prophecy, and we will see if it comes true. Game 10 is Sailor Moon from, of course, Sailor Moon versus Ms. Marvel, a.k.a. Kamala Khan from Marvel Comics. Ms. Marvel is a favorite of mine. Sailor Moon is, though, like, is an icon. Is an icon for multiple generations of fans. So it is a very little surprise that Ms. Marvel, in a stunning upset, beats Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon has had her day, and I love her, but she's had her day.
And Ms. Marvel is a star on the rise.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that was reflected in some of the comments we read. And it was really nice to see how people are like relating to Ms. Marvel and honoring Sailor Moon. We get like a lot of dirt talk in the comments where people will just hate on the other character. But in this case, Ms. Marvel fans were just saying, Sailor Moon's great, but no one's questioning that. We need to support Ms. Marvel, and that's awesome.
That's good.
In Game 11, Korra from Legend of Korra versus Star Butterfly from Star vs. the Forces of Evil. Now, I know a lot of people haven't watched Star Butterfly. It's a very good show, and she's a very popular character, and a lot of support in the early seeding, but Korra, thankfully, actually beats her in this round.
I like how you're unbiased, Frank.
Well, here's why I say that. I feel like there is a strong Avatar contingent in this group, and I want to see that fight happen. I want to see the Korra Avatar people get together and beat each other up royally. It's not weird. It's just what geeks do.
I'm going to have a lot of strong opinions once the Avatar and Korra people go against each other.
Well, unfortunately, Game 12 features Azula from Avatar The Last Airbender versus Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman from DC Comics, so you may not be seeing it next round, because Wonder Woman lost to Azula from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Well, that made no damn sense, Frank.
It was called a fake-out.
Well, one of our really good friends wrote a whole thing about how awesome Azula was and to vote for this thing on Reddit, so...
Oh, really? So
you can thank Mr. Vin for that.
Are we getting the neckbeard vote?
No. Yes.
That's awful. I meant that to insult Reddit, not Vin. All right. Yeah, I'm actually pretty surprised. Pete, we are, I think, in many ways, the bastions, the guardians of the original old school people.
Old school nerdery.
Yeah, and I feel like Wonder Woman got really ripped off in this. She was a lower seed than I expected. The first time she wasn't even submitted into the contest, and now she loses to this upstart of an Avatar character that I don't even know what.
Frank, I
love that she's in. 15 years ago is an upstart character.
We are very old, Katie. What were you saying,
Frank,
Pete?
I know you've got a personal attachment to Wonder Woman going back to your childhood, but I just got to say, she's not that present in the zeitgeist at this point, you know? Even going back to our last women in fiction, like you said, she didn't even make the bracket back then.
That's right.
And she's just coming back into the public imagination with her brief appearance in Batman versus Superman, which she was the highlight of, let's be honest. And her movie hasn't hit yet. I think we can expect the next time we do this, Wonder Woman to have much more of a presence.
Oh, see, now I'm happy that I let Pete talk instead of saying the snarky thing I was going to say, which was that Batman versus Superman destroyed Wonder Woman as a character, probably, since I haven't seen it, and also that the new movie is awful for reasons undisclosed. So I guess a more fair and unbiased opinion came from Pete. But yeah,
well, Linda some Carter people might win. Say fair, other people might say realistic.
There you go. So if I did my maths correctly, the next round we're going to have a Korra versus Azula fight. Is that exciting? Wow.
Look, Azula is a great character. What makes Azula really interesting is that she's kind of that rare villain where, like, you can see the steps that led her to the place she's at. You know, and where, like, had those steps been a little different, she could have been one of the heroes. But at the same time, Korra is just so much, you know, I mean, she's the Avatar. You know what I mean? Like, you think about the Wonder Woman character, the Superman, the main hero of all these other universes. That's Korra in the Avatar universe. And to have your Avatar character be female and to be the way Korra was, hot-headed and not always sure of herself, and just this really realistic interpretation of a person, is just, I think, stronger than the interpretation of Azula, which, you know, did get a little crazy villainy at times.
Right. It's also hard. Korra has a whole 4-season show about her. Azula has, you know, 5 episodes.
Oh, Azula was pretty present in the second half of the series, but not obviously, like, you know, the main character.
Somehow I wish both of them would lose for the next round. You nerds make me sick. All right, in game 13, we have Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec versus Peggy Carter from Agent Carter.
This was the worst matchup. How dare you?
First of all, we use top maths to determine this. We did not actually put these things together. We use top maths. Pope.
I can't even listen to the result.
Yeah. Pope, did you have somebody near and dear to you that yelled at you a lot about this competition?
If I were around Taylor more this week, she probably would have choked me if she finds out that Peggy's going to lose.
I will fight Taylor to the death over this.
For Leslie Knope?
For Leslie Knope.
Taylor's like literally in love with Hayley Atwell and Peggy Carter, both separately and together.
Yeah, it's
so, yeah.
If this sounds like it's a competition that's going back and forth, that's exactly what the votes went. They, I just want to say that a man walked into the room and shouted, Leslie, Leslie.
Yes. But
that regardless, let's look at what the actual results are, shall we? So yeah, the votes went back and forth like crazy. The fans voted one way. The public voted the other way. It was a topple. A huge surge of Leslie Knope fans came out at the last minute, but did not defeat Peggy Carter. It was so slim, so slim. And I think I know why it happened. And I'm only saying this because I got an inside track from here reading comments. A couple of people did suggest that they were unaware of Parks and Rec. And a few people flat out said, let's keep it genre. So I have a feeling that Leslie Knope had knocks against her for being like one of the few characters in the competition that wouldn't be like a geeky thing.
That's a really difficult statement because obviously like Parks and Rec is kind of like in that way that community kind of flirts
right
with the idea of genre, but never fully commits. Yeah, it's sad to see her go. But, you know, at the same time, obviously, we're big fans of Peggy Carter here at the network. We reviewed, you know, both seasons of Agent Carter and, you know, loved what Agent Carter brings to the table. But it's, you know, Leslie's like your everyday hero. Not everybody can be Peggy Carter, but everybody can be Leslie Knope.
A lot of people are Peggy Carter in fiction. Oh, wow, she's a hero, she's a female, she's in comic book land. Leslie's fighting up the political ranks as a woman, and we know how hard that can be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Another element could be that Peggy Carter's show was canceled just this year, and a lot of people are carrying that burn, you know, where Parks and Rec had a full run. It's hard to say, but like I said, this competition, this game went really close. You know, it's interesting that Leslie Knope did not make it to the next round because Game 14 features Judy Hopps from Zootopia versus Princess Bubblegum from Adventure Time. Do you want to know why that transition made sense?
Yes.
Princess Bubblegum is a leader of people. And also, for whatever reason, a couple of people have mentioned that Judy Hopps is a lot like Leslie Knope, including the Disney Wikipedia page on the character, which said that she was modeled off of Leslie Knope. Interesting, huh? No.
Yeah. Yes.
Princess Bubblegum from the incredibly popular Adventure Time versus Judy Hopps from Zootopia, which I'm not too familiar with. It was kind of back and forth on this one as well. But ultimately, and shockingly, our fans gave it to Judy Hopps.
She's just such a good character.
Is she?
With so many layers.
I really want to watch Zootopia now, because later on when we get to Moana, I actually had the same problem with like, maybe a good character, but I haven't seen it yet. But I have since seen Moana and I have opinions. Judy is interesting. I would have liked to have seen Leslie Knope versus Judy next round. I think that would have been fun, but unfortunately we're not going to get that. We're going to get Peggy Carter versus Judy Hopps. So maybe the ghost of Leslie Hopp will... I don't know. No, it's not Leslie Hopp. It's Leslie Knope. Fan fiction. All right. Game 15. Violet from A Series of Unfortunate Events versus Merida from Brave. Merida always gets knocked down in these competitions. I don't know why. I guess no one has seen Brave. And
it's literally the only Disney movie I've never seen.
Really?
I've seen all the Cars movies.
Wow. That says a lot.
Shame.
Yeah. I know Pete and I are one of the only few people who actually support Merida in these competitions generally. And I've heard A Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix is amazing. I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, even with our storm. But it's, you know, it was a tight competition. And in a stunning upset, Merida walks away with the victory. I'm so happy about this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could have gone either way on this one, but I'll admit, I backed Violet on this, and I'm sad to see her go. But if she had to go, Merida's a good choice.
Now, Merida's going to be up against some heavy hitter in the next round, so this might be my last chance to say anything about her. And I know that a lot of people may not have seen the movie, but let's just paint a little bit of a picture. Disney princess who does not, in her story, end up with somebody romantically. Like, as much as you want to say Anna and Elsa and Frozen was about sisterly love, there's still a relationship underlying everything. Or at least one, possibly two. Even Mulan, and I love Mulan, for whatever reason gets paired up with that guy at the end, and it's like, what does that have to do with anything? Merida is expressly about not wanting to get married just because her parents want her to. And it's not actually about that entire thing. It's like, that's kind of her motivation to rebel against her parents, and it's about her relationship with her mother. It's an amazing movie. It's really good. Wonderful set pieces. I love it. I hope it makes it. I hope she makes it past towards the further on in this competition. I highly recommend. And in game 16, Moana from Moana versus Xena from Xena the Warrior Princess.
Ooh, that's hard.
So I didn't see Moana until just this past weekend. I love that movie.
I feel like that's also kind of a situation where there's no love interest, and the whole time she's just porting her entire society on her shoulders, essentially.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome and very, you know, progressive, forward thinking, all that fun stuff. It's really the embodiment of the whole thing we're doing right now, the women's empowerment.
I mean, I think her title says it all. She's not a princess. She's a chief.
I love
she's
that awesome. There's a line in that in the movie. It's so good. Which she actually argues whether or not she's a Disney princess effectively. That's really cool. I think it's interesting that she is one of the few leaders, like a royalty kind of character, who actually seems to have to do things for her people. Like every other Disney princess, it's irrelevant that they have subjects. And again, she's not really a princess, but she is a leader of people. And it means something. Really cool. Versus Xena the Warrior Princess, who is like an icon for a generation again, and is the character we most get complaints about when she does not show up in the competition or does not get further than you would expect. There are people who come to vote for Xena and only Xena. But those people did not come out in strong enough force. By a slim margin, Moana does make it on to the next round, and it is an incredibly slim margin.
Wait a second, are we going to have Moana versus Merida?
We are going to have Moana versus Merida next round.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Just on principle, I'm going to watch Brave.
There you go.
Before voting.
I'm curious about what you think.
And you know what? If you need to, just fall back on my philosophy when it comes to Disney characters. Always bet on the one that starts with M.
All right, game 17. This is Garnet from Steven Universe versus Monkey from Kubo and the Two Strings. All right, there's no... I'm going to flat out say this. I like Steven Universe a lot. I really think it's a great show. And it's the kind of show I would have watched as a kid. But Kubo and the Two Strings was an amazing movie. It's kind of an undersung film. And Monkey is an amazing character in it. Now, the way these March Madnesses work is we put the top seed against the lowest seed, so Garnet, who is incredibly popular, was against Monkey, who just barely made it into our competition. Which is why this upset is so shocking. Monkey wins. Monkey beats Garnet from Steven Universe. I cannot believe what I'm saying.
This is why you watch March Madness, man.
This is
upsets.
Yeah.
This just doesn't make... I mean, I'm excited. I also love Kubo and the Two Strings. It is a great film, but, you know, like, I just can't believe our fan base came out and saw that film. You know, I mean, all I hear is all these amazing things about Steven Universe and how great a character Garnet is. You know, I'm just surprised that this movie really kind of took it.
I am super in favor of Monkey. I love Monkey as a character. I watched the movie Kubo again this weekend. I am shocked that Garnet did not make it through the next round. And that really is like, I'm uncomfortably shocked, where I feel like something in the cosmos will come back and haunt us. We may actually end up getting a play-in round because I cannot fathom why Garnet, unless it was, frankly, unless it was our passionate please, or I'm not going to even cover this up, my passionate please. I kept saying, please, please, Monkey's great. I just want her to stay in the competition. If the people voted for that, it's ridiculous. We had to check the votes twice. We just had a long conversation about it. It's freaking crazy. Monkey wins.
The numbers are there. They don't lie.
So do we know who Monkey is up against in the next round?
Game 18. Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons versus Galadriel from Lord of the Rings. Of course.
I don't even understand this.
Yeah, this is a confusing
They're basically
one.
The same character.
Of course. You know what? The public almost agrees with you, Pete. It was kind of a split down the middle. There was a distinct winner, and a lot of our write-ins were in favor of this one particular character. I think, not too surprising, Lisa Simpson makes it to the next round.
Yay!
Yeah, I like Lisa. I love Lisa. She's a great character, and she means a lot to a lot of us for a lot of decades. And Galadriel was sort of just there, in my opinion.
Is it odd that I find Lisa refreshing as a character after we went on this long Family Guy tangent where Family Guy was super popular for a while and then The Simpsons, watching the old episodes of The Simpsons again, I'm like, oh, hey, Lisa's great as compared to maybe other characters in other named show that aren't so much.
Lisa Simpson.
Shut up, James.
All right. That was pretty good. I think I should leave it at that. But like I've heard online, Lisa and like Tina from Bob's Burgers, their characters were Meg is a punchline. All right. Game 19. Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road versus Captain Janeway from Star Trek Voyager. Kind of unsurprising on this one, Furiosa does win, and a lot of hate on Captain Janeway still, mostly for getting lost, which was just the premise of her damn show. I feel like that wasn't fair that people keep complaining about that.
Not fair.
Yeah. Game 20.
Does that make the skipper less of a character?
The skipper did not do well in this competition, strangely enough.
Oddly enough, skipper beat the skipper.
Oh, you mean...
Women in fiction.
Got it. All right, game 20, Professor McGonagall from Harry Potter versus Mary Poppins from Mary Poppins. All right, I think the second game that got the most hate for us. Yeah, people did not like this competition. Again, top maths. We didn't do this. It just happened. Professor McGonagall, I did not see why she was in this, and then Katie yelled at me. Katie, can you repeat why you yelled at me last time?
Because you just felt like she'd no part of the story, but she's literally the first adult character that shows Harry any kind of kindness and warmth. She's the one that gives him his broom, that one that makes him feel welcome at Hogwarts.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I did not see
it
that way.
Yeah, you don't think Hagrid is an adult.
Oh... Or Molly Weasley for not letting him get lost and die, I guess.
He doesn't meet Mrs. Weasley till later.
No, they met on the train station.
She tells him how to get through to the right platform.
Yeah, I totally would have told that kid to get like lost. I would have been like, yeah, screw you, kid. I don't know you. I don't want my kid to compete against
Harry
Potter.
That's why nobody writes books about you, Frank.
Well, not that I know of. Anyways, game 21. Game 21 is Belle.
Hey, Frank?
Yeah.
Who won?
Oh, I'm sorry. Professor McGonagall. Professor Yay! McGonagall won that round. I'm sorry, I just went off on a tangent talking about why I was wrong. So game 21. Belle from Beauty and the Beast versus Nausicaa from Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind. With so many anime characters in this year's competition, I really thought that Nausicaa would do a better job of fighting a Disney princess, but no, Nausicaa did lose to Belle. Only barely, but she did. Belle's still in. So does the Emma Watson power block continue on? We'll have to find out.
I'm going to say Nausicaa's a tough one. There are so many great female Miyazaki characters, but you know, Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind is one of her lesser known movies. And as you said, we've got, you know, so much attention on Beauty and the Beast right now with the new movie coming out this weekend. I think that's where it's at.
In game 22, Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender versus Leela from Futurama. And Toph definitely destroys Leela. So yet another Avatar The Last Airbender character makes it to the next round.
Not just another Avatar character. The Avatar character that's going to take it to the end.
Oh, really? I like the comment in our competition where just poke her in the eye already. I felt that was kind of mean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, anti-mutant racism.
Yeah, but Toph's blind.
Yeah, I don't know whose eye gets poked. I guess Leela to make it even? Is that what the point
yeah, I
was?
Guess.
I don't know. That was kind of cruel. Anyways, write your letters to the care of Nonproductive. Game 23, Pearl from Steven Universe versus Lady Eboshi from Princess Mononoke.
I have lots of feelings here. Lady Eboshi is my
Nobody
favorite.
Nobody cares about your feelings, James. Nobody ever cared about your feelings because Steven Universe, the powerhouse show, the top seed, is completely out of this competition. Lady Eboshi wins.
No, she didn't.
She wins. Lady Eboshi. And it was like, it was, I wouldn't say one-sided, but it was basically, yeah, one our vote. I can't, God.
If I went out on the road and asked people who they knew, they would have no idea who Lady Eboshi was.
I don't understand this at all.
Steven Universe is the Big East of the non-pro March Madness.
I
think we're also overlooking that people could have not known both shows. Like, I understand in this crowd, people probably would, but definitely could have just flipped a coin at that point and, you know, been a total fluke.
A flip the coin would have been a more even matchup than what we ended up seeing. I honestly can't explain this. If this were the other way around, if these were all Steven Universe characters that were winning every competition, like the way Avatar and Korra characters have been winning, I would have said, all right, did some Avatar fan club find our poll this year and vote it up? But it's not. These are our subscribers. These are our listeners voting. And these are like one-offs that are winning. I mean, Princess Mononoke, Sand didn't even make it into the competition.
Yeah, she didn't even make it into the seeding, you know, and she's the title character.
Yeah, it's amazing. But like,
my passionate defense from a few years ago. I reshared it. It's very important.
A few people
did it.
Yeah, that may have done it.
No, game, it didn't.
Game 24, Mulan from Mulan versus Squirrel Girl from Marvel Comics. A lot of passionate arguments for Squirrel Girl did come through. And again, Mulan, not that many passionate arguments, but the people did come through. They voted for her. Mulan will make it to the next round. I think these popular characters, you got to start writing about them or else they're going to lose just because of apathy. People just assume they're going to win, like, you know, in certain other kinds of elections you could imagine. The little bit of a ha-ha in the background is perfect. Game 25. Rey from Star Wars The Force Awakens versus Raven from Teen Titans. You know, Raven puts in a good effort, but Rey just destroyed her. Not surprising. Rey, popular movie. Star Wars The Force Awakens out for like more than a year now, but still, it's got that Star Wars bump.
Yeah, just wasn't happening.
Yeah. Game 26, Harley Quinn from DC Comics versus Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games. Hey, here's an interesting thing I learned. Apparently, these two fandoms hate each other. Because it was just smack talk about each other's characters in the comments. Very interesting. But Katniss actually makes it to the next round. It looks like Harley Quinn did not get that much of a bump from Suicide Squad.
Ooh. I totally crap talked Harley for Katniss. I'm one of those people.
I feel terrible too, because there's a lot of people who love Harley, and I see the merits of Harley, but they're, you know, I know. A lot of people think Katniss is played out, but I love that character in the books, in the movies. I mean, there's something really powerful and important about Katniss that I think people have already started to forget, and I don't want that to happen.
I agree. I do think Hunger Games as a series is getting played out. I think the zeitgeist is kind of moving past it, but we're not getting like Hunger Games 5 and 6, not starring, you know what I mean, like a Pirates of the Caribbean deal. On the other hand, Harley Quinn has still not found her place. Too many people are mixed about what type of character she is. Game 27, Coraline from Coraline versus Daria from Daria.
Our emo round.
Indeed. I am shocked by the number of people that came out of the woodwork to vote up Coraline when she was so low-seeded in the original competition. Really, I am shocked. But I'm kind of ironic shocked because Daria really does influence the way I think and talk now. I don't know why I'm talking like a Valley girl. I guess it's been a while since I've seen Daria.
It's like the opposite
of her. It really is the opposite of Daria, but there are characters in Daria that sound like... Anyways, Daria won. Daria Yay! Barely won by the skin of her teeth. She didn't make it to the next round. Come on, let's hear it for Coraline. Coraline would also be in Six Sad World, I think. I think she'd be into it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And Daria will be up against the champion from Game 28, which will either be Marceline the Vampire Queen from Adventure Time or Ellie from The Last of Us. And the winner is Marceline the Vampire Queen. We have an Adventure Time character in the next round. Hooray!
Excellent.
Marceline versus Daria. Oh, goodness.
It's so sarcastic.
I'm a little disappointed. Look, I like Marceline. I like Adventure Time. And let's be fair. If there's a character with the most depth on that show, it's Marceline. But I don't know. There's a lot of depth to Ellie in The Last of Us. And that game really redefines storytelling in games as a whole. And it's in part on the way they treat Ellie as a character. Games have a huge problem with how they deal with female characters. And I think Ellie is well dealt with. She's not some sort of victim. She's not a character in distress. She's not sexualized like Lara Croft. She doesn't have all those problems.
And if you played that game and didn't vote for Ellie, go download that DLC and play it now.
Oh, yeah? Does it make a big difference?
Huge!
Yes. And it's all about her.
That might be why. It's hard to say how these votes go one way or another. It does seem like video game characters are just, people are submitting them left and right, even early into our competition. But when it comes down to votes and seeds, their fan base just moves on to something else. That we saw that with a lot of these characters.
Video game characters do seem to have a distinct disadvantage in this competition. And I blame Wii Ball.
Might as well. All right, Game 29, Jyn Erso from Star Wars Rogue One, most popular movie of last year, versus Jessica Jones from Marvel Comics, an amazing hit Netflix show from about 2 years ago. And the public was split, literally split decision on this. But our fans made an amazing choice. And the winner for Game 29 and moving on to round two is Jessica Jones.
Oh, good.
Oh, thank goodness.
An upset. Real? What? Both of you? How,
Jyn
why
is
this
great, but she can't be as fleshed out as Jessica was. She's such a deep character, and I can't wait to see more of her.
Huh. All right. I agree. I mean, I love Jyn. I love Star Wars Rogue One, but I'm kind of, I mean, Jessica Jones was not as well seated as a character, and I guess I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I'll also point out that this might be an effect. I don't know. I'm just saying there, all you Leia and Rey fans out there, if you do not write defenses for these characters, these Star Wars characters, or these super popular characters, they might end up like the Steven Universe bracket or contestants, just thrown on the wayside. Make sure you support and share this list. Actually, before we do our last three games, let's actually share the secret word of the day with our fans. Remember, go to non-productive.com/secret and enter the secret word in all caps, just like you yell everything into the internet, and you get early access to our voting for our Women in Fiction March Madness. And the secret word of this week is power. That's right, P-O-W-E-R, all caps, put it in there, and then you'll be able to access the voting early. All right, back to our competition. Game 30, Zelda from the Legend of Zelda series versus Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. Ah, Sansa. So hated, so reviled, so angered. That's not really a good use of the word, but
what you're trying to say.
Yeah. And Zelda, who is, I guess, the princess of note for the entire Legend of Zelda series, a game series so popular that I think the Nintendo Switch is going to sell out entirely based on one game.
It did.
Yeah, there you go.
That happened.
So it is a very little surprise, once again, that Game 30 goes to Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones.
Huzzah.
Holy crap.
I almost feel like I voted for her just because of how well she's come back in the story.
Her arc made a drastic turn in the series.
She has finally taken charge. It was a big plot in last season that she is finally taking charge of her own destiny, and it's great to see.
That's really cool. Hopefully she'll make it past this round, because in Game 31 we have Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones versus Elphaba from Wicked. So Daenerys, you know, mother of dragons, kind of an iconic character in modern fantasy literature, versus Elphaba, which is sort of a surprise hit in our March Madness. We didn't expect her to appear at all, but, you know, a layered character. That's pretty cool.
I think it's very interesting because in their own way, Each of them is a woman who manages to become the only person in their story that actually embraces and lives up to the legend that's surrounding her.
That's really interesting, really deep, and really cool. I think our fans were kind of split, surprisingly split, between the two characters, which excited me, because, I mean, Elphaba, new to the competition, glad to see people writing arguments and defenses for her, and I'd love to see a defense of this character, even though the popular vote came in, and Daenerys did defeat her in this competition, in this round. I think as much as our fans are cool people who are willing to think outside the box, you gotta look at a Dynamite show in the eye and face it. She's too powerful, too big. I think maybe people are also wishing for a Daenerys-Sansa fight off in an upcoming round. But with Sansa coming up against Jessica Jones next round, I don't even know if she'll make it long enough to see Daenerys, which is actually very much in keeping with the way the books are going. Will you make it long enough to see anything happen?
Probably not.
All right, our final game of the competition, game 32, Eleven from Stranger Things versus Ariel from The Little Mermaid. Now, I'm not going to go out as far as to say that the two fandoms are versus each other in this one. That's clearly not what's happening, but people are really angry at Ariel. There's a lot of angry things left in the comments. 11 wins in a landslide, but what? I'm just saying, maybe just settle down a bit. She's tried her best. She's 16. Give her some slack.
Yeah, 11's like a child.
So that's it. That is our 32 games in round one. What do you folks think?
I'm psyched. There were some amazing upsets in that round.
I don't think we've ever had so many upsets in one competition. It's pretty cool. I'm gonna go through them and count them.
Things like Lady Eboshi and Monkey are blowing my mind. You know, like Lady Eboshi made it a few rounds into our last competition, but she was seated against like equally as obscure characters. I don't know. You know, like this is crazy. Like I'm rooting for our fan base who have obviously, you know, upped their game on just wonderful, wonderful characters in the time we haven't been doing this, but it's shocking.
It'll be an interesting March Madness. I'm excited to see what happens, but I'm going to go make some waffles and cry over it for a while about Leslie Knope.
I understand that. We have, I think, my bad maths counting, it's not the same maths we use to determine the competition, was about 12 of these games ended in an upset, at least a mild upset. I mean, I think there's like a, there is a, how do you put this? A sports word for it, when like the seed is drastic. And that's about three of those games, which is crazy. The fact that a top seeded character could lose to a bottom seeded character in a region is almost unheard of. Monkey beating Garnet. Unbelievable. I'm going to get hate letters for this. I know it. If you want early access to voting and you want to be up with all the coolest non-pro stuff, subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast catcher and join us on our fan club. It's in Facebook land. So facebook.com/group/non-pro. And you'll get early access to the voting. You'll get prizes, punch and pie. We'll kill your least favorite cast member of Non-Productive once a week until we have none left.
I don't know if I like that.
Nope, we're going to do it.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, we're stay tuned for round two. It's going to be great.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.